You're listening to Eye on the Ball with Steve Rivera. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Eye on the Ball. I'm Steve Rivera, and you're listening to 1030 The Voice. Welcome to Friday, the final day of the week in as much as we talk in sports. In with me is Matt Moreno of Go Easy Cats and my guy, Tom Fairbanks.
Yes, sir, boss.
Well, good to see you, Tom. Haven't seen you in a week. I'm sure you missed me.
I do miss you.
A sad man.
You're easier to take on a once-a-week basis. I'm just kidding.
No, you're serious because I
don't understand. Send any emails, folks. I'm only kidding.
That might be the first email you get. What are you talking about? You probably want the email.
That's right. Yeah, I don't get any email.
Matt Moreno knows me. In fact, we talk about this during the Monday through Thursday because my other Tom gets me, Steve Speak.
Yep.
You've been getting me for a while,
yeah.
Steve. You translated.
I don't know if I can put that on my resume. I don't know if that's something that'll get me a job one day.
I can't even put it on my resume.
That I speak Steve.
I'm fluent. Speak Steve. Understand. Yeah, fluent in speech. I can't speak Spanish, but I speak Steve.
counts as being bilingual, I think.
I guess so. Hey, did you go to the game last night?
Yeah.
I saw you there. I know you did.
Yeah.
What do you make of it? They beat a team they should have been beaten the first time, didn't. They beat a team now that they beat them, 23 points? 26 points?
I tweeted this after the game, and it's been interesting to see the responses. I haven't had a tweet do this in a while. I just said, is this the beginning of the run that we know they all make seemingly every year, where they finish out the season really strong, go into Vegas with a lot of momentum? I know you hate that word, Steve.
Momentum.
You asked Sean Miller about it yesterday.
Yes.
But where they go into the NCAA tournament with you know, building up some steam, and then we'll figure out what happens once they get there. But it feels like they're kind of in the middle of kind of that run at the end of the year to kind of pull everything together.
He didn't answer my question, as
he
you know.
He did not.
He wanted, he used the word.
I think he said yes. I think he said yes.
He said yeah. Then he talked about confidence, and he did use the word momentum, but he didn't answer the question.
It's... Yeah, he didn't answer it.
No.
But that's Sean Miller.
In a given, and this is just an estimate, because we talk about this every now and again. If we asked him 10 questions, he would answer 3 of them, maybe?
That's probably pretty accurate in terms of...
Accuracy in terms of answering the direct question. Yeah. Yeah, he does it every now and again. He wants to get his agenda out. I think he was good yesterday. He was fine.
Yeah.
He spoke at length to begin the press conference. He always answers our questions before we get to the questions.
Because it gives him more time to go answer whatever he wants to answer and what he wants to talk about.
True. I asked him a couple questions that kind of he talked about. One was the moment. One was just the starts, because I think if Arizona gets out early and gets a nice lead, I don't know, 7, 8, 10 points, they can do what they do, which of course is run. And he's mentioned that a lot lately. Do you notice?
Yeah.
Which is good, because he's, I don't know, trying to sell his team. But it makes for a better team because they don't have to play slow.
Right. Well, and one of the things that I think they do best, and we've seen when they really, you know, put their foot on the gas, is they go on runs. And it happened a couple times yesterday where they go on, I think, a 12-0 run or something like that in the first half, kind of pull away, create some separation. And then in the second half, after the Trace Tinkle incident, they were kind of in the middle of another run, finish that one out, go up by 21 points, and it's game over.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they're able to do that. It's harder to do that, obviously, when you have less possessions, have fewer times to, you know, score.
Mm-hmm.
But when they're able to run, they're able to do that more, and that plays into their benefit and what they do well.
Very obvious. We've known that since the beginning of the year. We've known that since 2011.
Yeah.
But he's doing it more. To his credit, they're doing it more.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, and he talks about it all the time. Pretty much after every press conference, they want to get and give and go and go. Yesterday helped by the turnovers. Scored 28 points, 26 points.
Yeah.
And on turnovers. They'll win a lot of games that way.
If they don't turn it over and they can create that many turnovers, it's usually a recipe for a win, which is why the UCLA game was so strange, because UCLA had a ton of turnovers in that game and still ended up winning.
Yeah, they just couldn't shoot. They still couldn't shoot. Last night they shot 42%, whatever it was.
Yeah, it's still not good.
No, it's not up there. It should be closer to 50, obviously, if not more.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like Nico has improved his shooting at all over the season.
No, not at all.
And at what point is that just who he is?
Well, how many sample sizes do you need?
That's my thing. And I think maybe he teased people, kind of got them too excited when he was came out of the gate kind of shooting pretty well. Mm-hmm. I've seen him in a lot of games. I don't know about this bad, this poor of a shooting performance, but I've seen him a lot. This is probably closer to who he is in reality.
Can I ask you guys a question?
Absolutely.
If somebody were conducting an experiment and got the results of the experiment and they were what they were, and he conducts the experiment again, doesn't change anything, and the results come out the same, and he conducts the experiment again, doesn't change anything about how he does the experiment, and by golly, and the results don't change either. Don't you think that maybe along the way he might start rethinking his experiment? And what I'm getting at is the way Sean Miller has gone with his defense. The guys, it seems to me, either you've got guys that get it, they understand the concept, and they're able to execute it. Then there are guys who understand the concept but are not able to execute it because they are not physically gifted enough or whatever. They can't, you know, stay with their guy or their guy that they're supposed to be guarding gets by them. I see that happening with Nico quite often, and even with Josh Green last night. And then there are guys that never get it. So if it's going to take them a season before they even start to get it, and maybe even start to be able to execute it the way Sean envisions his defense to be executed, and by that time, bang, the season's over, and those guys are not coming back, he's going to start all over again with this experiment next season.
So what's your point? That's just the way it is?
That's the way it is with trying to establish a defense that's maybe a little more complicated, that these kids just coming in out of high school are not able to get.
Let's face facts. Other schools deal with this and do okay with it. Some people just aren't good at defense, and a lot of the guys that he recruits aren't because they're stars offensively, to your point.
But, and they don't stick around long enough to get it either.
Correct. No, and they don't get it at any level because that's not what they have to do. But go ahead.
I was going to say the underlying, I think, theme of that is there is someone who's around every year who won't adapt the way he does it.
Sean.
Yeah.
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 And that's just not going to happen.
No. No. No, I get it. The other schools deal with the same issue that Arizona is going through. Well,
Probably Virginia is the best example of a school who uses basically the same kind of defense that Sean does, but they seem to be more successful with it. And I haven't really researched or looked into it to find out why, but my guess is Virginia keeps more guys around more than one season in order to get that.
True.
Get to that level.
True, they don't recruit the way that Arizona does.
I mean, we've talked about it, I think, at length on your show. It's just, he's kind of in an impossible situation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In fact, I saw a post today, I think it was on one of my stories, because I talked to Richard Jefferson last night, and he says, well, he needs to stop recruiting the one-and-dones and get the smart kids and the players. That's not going to work either. It's not going to work with the fans. That's for
As
sure.
we talked about earlier in the week, so what you're saying is you want last year's team.
Right. And he's got to coach him up for 3-4 years. Well, that's been the case the last 2 or 3 years.
You're saying the fans would rather see a highly ranked recruiting team than a team that finishes high in the NCAA tournament?
No, but you at Arizona, you can't have one without the other.
Right.
I'm being facetious. I'm sorry, Steve.
No. But you can't have it.
There are people who think like that.
And you can't please everybody. We all know that, right? There's 10 people in a room. You can't please. Well, why don't you do exactly that? Why don't you chase after the 3-star, 4-star guys?
Who'll stick around.
Who'll learn, get it. Or not stick around and just leave. Or the 5-star guys who are here for one and done. What are your best chances of winning?
At a place like Arizona, you want the most talent you can get, more than anything else.
And let's also realize, in fact, one of them said, don't you wish that they would stay and imagine how the team would be in 3 years? I said, yeah. However, Duke deals with the same thing. Kentucky deals with the same thing. Kansas deals with the same thing.
You guys have been around long enough to know the answer to this question. Was Lute Olson able to hang on to guys better for two or three seasons?
He was in a different era. And he didn't hang. Mike Bibby was ready to go. Obviously, he went number two. I think maybe that was one of his first, although he's lost guys transferring. After Bibby in 97, he lost three right away to Gilbert Arenas, second year. Richard Jefferson, 3 years. Michael Wright, 3 years. But it's a different time now. It was that's 24 years ago.
That plus, I think, at Arizona, you mentioned a school like Virginia. I think Baylor's in that conversation. Gonzaga's a little bit different, but when you're not the show, when you're not the main attraction, mm-hmm. it's easier to kind of fall back and work through some of those issues. Baylor hasn't been one of the, they've been consistently pretty good, but they haven't been, they're not on Arizona's level in terms of the draw that they bring. Arizona played them this year. They gave away tickets to the game.
Mm-hmm.
They care about football there, where Arizona is the show. You can't take any, you can't take a year off because it's what you are at Arizona. You're Arizona basketball. And so mm-hmm. it makes it more difficult to take some time to try and figure out how you want to build up a program, maybe have an off year or two. People just won't stand for that, and they want to see you consistently recruit and bring in top talent, and it makes it difficult.
Let me ask you, so people won't stand, and let's go to break here. We're already a couple of minutes over, and then come back and talk about that here on 1030 The Voice. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm your host, Steve Rivera, and with me, Matt Moreno, Go Easy Cats, and Tom Fairbanks on the other side of the glass. So you're talking about the fans. So the fans either like it or don't like it, and have to say you need the 5 stars, right?
Yeah.
You need the 4 stars, the big time recruits. He gets 2 or 3 every year. And others say, you know, you can't do it that way. You do it this other way. You can't make them happy. You just can't. And anyway, they're not going to call the shots on Sean's future here. They're not. True?
Yeah. I agree with that.
For whatever reason, fans here know
it's different than football, where
right.
they can show it by just not showing up to games.
And you know, the one thing I didn't notice yesterday, I saw a tweet from maybe our competitor, a competitor of yours. Did you notice the crowd yesterday? I didn't.
It was really strange. I noted it on our message boards.
That what?
It was just and someone brought up, well, it's starting at 6 p.m., which I knew, and obviously there's a lot more traffic just getting to the state,
right.
to get into the arena.
Mm-hmm.
People just getting off work a little bit later. Mm-hmm. By the time you got there after your show, it was already filled in. Early in the game, it was maybe the lightest I've seen it, maybe ever, covering the team in my time here.
Oh, really?
It was just the student section was bad. The Zona Zoo
That's
was
That's what
was
I saw
bad.
The tweet on, yeah. So that was up until what, the halftime?
Probably so.
So did they show up afterward?
Not really. It started to fill in with just regular fans who were like, well, there's some extra seats right there.
So they moved down?
Yeah, because it was probably only half full right at tip-off.
That's kind of typical.
They didn't seem very vocal to me last night. Is that the reason, do you think? Or am I just imagining?
A little bit of that. A little bit of just, there were a lot of empty seats early on. And it was definitely, I noted that. It was quiet. It was a very different type of atmosphere.
Not a lot of U of A chants.
No, it was pretty subdued compared to other games this year.
But that's the trend. It's going that way. I mean, they would be publicizing tickets and packages and all that.
That is something that I have noticed this year, maybe more so than ever. Them saying, hey, we still have tickets. We still have tickets available. Even for Red Blue. There was years when Red Blue was, mm-hmm. There was no tickets. What are you talking about? You're going to get into Red Blue?
Right.
And now they have these moments where the season where it's happened a lot where they're, hey, we still have tickets, and it's a day before.
Do you notice on your website the popularity of it still, or the demise of it now?
It's interesting. I think people are...
Demise is not the right word.
I think people are at a kind of a bit of a crossroads where they want to care, but they're just so tired of being let down that it's leading to this place of mm-hmm. kind of apathy almost,
mm-hmm.
where they get excited, but they know... Let's temper our expectations a little bit until something truly happens.
Right, right. I haven't seen this happen as often as I've seen it now. Sean, they win. Sean, who's going to fire Sean now? They lose, it's fire Sean.
Yeah.
You know, it's very inconsistent.
There's been a lot more fire Sean sentiment, even when I have positive things to say, and even when there are positive things to look at. After a game like last night, someone tweeted at me, fire Sean.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just that sentiment is out there more than I can remember.
Yeah, it's very strange. It is what it is, though. We know it is what it is. And there's still a lot of things coming out. In fact, I was on the Buckmaster show yesterday. He asked me, do I think, and I've asked you if Sean was going to come back next year, you know, for whatever reason. I don't know, but there's still the NCAA tournament to play. There's still NCAA decisions to be made.
Yeah.
We're still waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Yeah, yeah. And it's going to drop. They did acknowledge that they're being investigated, correct?
Yeah. The thing is, when it does drop, there's still more time after that. So it's still, yeah. I mean, the further along we get without any kind of notice of allegations, any of that.
Right. It's funny.
It's going to take time.
You knew that Pittsburgh was in trouble, right? Did you see that they got penalized?
Yeah.
But you knew that before? I can't remember if I did or not.
There's been so many, Steve, that I can't remember who was who.
Right, right. But I also knew that Sean was rumored to be going back.
Yeah.
Two years ago now. I was in Boise chasing down some stuff. And obviously didn't go. But that would have been strange.
Yeah.
Capel's there now, right?
Yep.
Yeah, he's doing a pretty good job. So
do you find it interesting that nothing has happened with regard to Arizona and the NCAA investigation, yet we have heard other schools and what happened to them?
Interesting is probably the word. It's just been delayed for whatever reason. I mean, they just finished another trial, I think it was.
Yeah, it's so difficult to determine how fast the NCAA is going to move on certain things. Mm-hmm. You just don't know.
And that was the Michael Avenatti?
Yep.
And Arizona was mentioned again with DeAndre Ayton.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that was part of it or whatever, but couldn't help, right?
No.
A testimony saying that he was paid before he got here. If that's part of it, Arizona's year will be expunged or whatever word that is.
But what does it all matter?
Not a darn thing.
You know, you brought up the possibility of the Pittsburgh job at some time in the future. Is there any other coaching position that Sean might move to?
That's not even a question. The answer is,
Pittsburgh is his dream job, I guess.
No.
No?
No, not, no, no, I don't think so.
There is another one.
Maybe one other time, but not anymore. North Carolina?
Yeah.
Yeah, but he has to come away unscathed in this mess.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine another school trying to make a run at him or trying to pull him away from Arizona right now until we know what happens from
But if it was an ACC school or even an SEC school?
No, that's what we just said, North Carolina. That'd be the school. But that's pure speculation. It's like me, what would I do if Miss America came to ask me to dance? I mean, it's not going to happen. So what would I do? Well, I could say I won't dance or I will dance. It's just not going to happen.
I do think if you separate Arizona from this equation, you just say, Sean Miller, what can he do to succeed as a coach?
Here or anywhere?
Anywhere.
Okay.
Sean Miller as a coach, what can he? I still think he thrives in a different part of the country in terms of finding his players. The types of guys that he likes that are readily available would be further back, closer to where he's from.
Yeah, tougher kids, tougher-minded kids.
Because the challenge here is you have to get those guys to Arizona,
mm-hmm.
all the way across the country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's been strange. I don't know what his record here is, and I don't know why we're talking about him specifically, but there's a lot of work to be done here now. They're near the top, not at the top, right? Colorado leads the league. Right now, by
half a game.
If they beat Oregon, Oregon's probably out, the league league favorite. Colorado, and Arizona doesn't play Colorado again.
Nope.
They beat Colorado, obviously. But they got to go to California next week and then Washington State here. You're not going to Pac-12, are you?
No.
So a lot of things going on.
Yeah.
They're going to Arizona?
California. Southern California.
Southern California. Yeah. Okay. UCLA, USC. Okay.
Right.
Got you.
Right. So we'll see. I don't know. Sure if we can talk about that. Who impressed you the most? Green yesterday?
I think so. To me, it was something different where it was like, oh, okay, this is this is kind of an all-around game that is different than what we've seen, I think, at any point this season.
From
where,
him?
Yeah. He had a block. He had set the team... Well, the year record in steals, I think he had 4 steals or something like that, which is the highest of anybody this season. He had 18 points. He had 6 assists, I think. Just an all-around game where you said, okay, if he plays like that, he could be that guy that just leads the team.
I don't want to continue.
We're still waiting for that, aren't we? The team leader to show up?
Yeah, that's too late now.
Yeah.
That's too late now, I think. Don't you think?
Yeah.
It's just going to survive.
Yeah. Your team leader is Sean Miller now.
Yeah. No, as he probably likes it. But yeah, no question. It's too late now for the guy. Like, oh, Mannion was pretty good in what he does. Yesterday he had a pretty good game. Didn't shoot the ball well, but Green, Zeke, obviously, and they're just playing bad teams. You know, true.
Which is why I said they could make a run here at the end, and it just gives them that word that Steve doesn't like, momentum, going into Vegas and then into the tournament.
Right. Right.
Kind of by default, just because of who they're playing.
We'll see. We'll talk a little bit more about basketball and then go to other women play tonight. Other sports are going on too, women's softball. So let's take a break here on 10-3 The Voice and come back on the other side. Thanks. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 10-3 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera, your host. So I just got a text from somebody from the game. He said, and he talked about this, the blow up at the timeout. Media timeout?
Yep.
He was pretty upset about the team. I guess he was very upset. I've seen him upset before, obviously. But last
really?
Night, he was upset a time or two that they had missed some assignments defensively.
Yeah.
And pretty honest about saying they didn't know who they were covering.
Yeah. I think that's going to be more so than bad shots, than turnovers is probably up there too, but probably more so than anything else is just defensive assignments and not knowing where you're supposed to be, because we know how much that means to him and his overall philosophy and how he wants to conduct his team. It's going to be on the defensive side.
On that end of the game.
Yeah.
No question. Tomorrow's going to be one of those games where they're going to have to pay attention to everything.
Yeah.
Because Oregon is a strange team, just as strange as Arizona is.
Yeah.
Because they've got behind a number of big games and they come back. And Arizona has given up big leads and have teams come back. So this is kind of like the strengths of each team.
Yeah. Well, and you mentioned it, if Oregon loses, they're out of the picture now.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
ASU is suddenly now, in the picture.
Right.
So it's going to be a big game for both teams. Arizona, it's kind of, like I said, that last big game, that last big test where you can kind of make somewhat of a statement. And then if you win that game, you have not easy weeks, but you have a couple easier opponents coming, or a few easier opponents coming up to finish out the schedule, and you're rolling into postseason play.
Yeah. Last night I spoke to Richard Jefferson briefly. He did the game. Obviously, he's doing it again tomorrow. I went to him while he was talking to Green, Josh Green, and kind of, because I've always said that Josh Green reminds me of Richard.
Mm-hmm.
And Richard said, yeah, it reminds me, but I stayed 3 years. That's what Richard told me. And the one thing, he's a lot shorter than Richard that I've seen. And you know what he reminds me of? I think that, did Shauna say that he reminds him of Johnson?
I think so. I think there's some similarities.
And my point is, do you think that Green is ready for the NBA?
No.
I don't either. But he's going to go because of his potential.
Yep.
He doesn't have a shot.
Yep. That's where you're mentioning the fans, and it's not their call. That's not our call to say whether that's NBA team. So
right.
it's not a matter. It always strikes me as funny when people say he's not ready.
We know he's not ready.
We all know that, but also we're not making those decisions. So someone else thinks he is.
Right. Even if it's one. So how did it go for Johnson?
Not well.
Not well, because he was a between. He was a between guy. Wasn't a great shot. He was a heck of a dogged defender and a competitor.
Much like Sean Miller's in an impossible situation, a lot of those players are in an impossible situation. Because they're projected as a first-round pick.
Mm-hmm.
For some guys like Stanley Johnson, a top 10 pick.
Yeah.
And imagine if Stanley Johnson, I come back to him a lot, but imagine his game is so much more well-suited to the college game because mm-hmm. His size fits in better at this level where he can be dominant, but plays several different positions and get a mismatch mm-hmm. really no matter where he lines up or wherever he's at on the floor.
Yeah.
And that just changes when you get to the NBA level. And so there's a lot of guys that we could say that about, and it's just they're in an impossible situation because they're guaranteed a lot of money when you're picked that high. And most guys have other people around them that say, hey, just go do it.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about Zeke? Najee, you think he'll stick around for another season?
No, they're all gone.
All three of them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, he's probably the best equipped.
The first time I interviewed Zeke Najee, it was at a tournament, and I said, what interests you about Arizona? He said, well, I want to be a one and done. I want to be a one and done, and that's where they go. That's where one and done players go, is Arizona. And he was still deciding among other schools, and he's at Arizona, and he's playing very well and projected to be a first-round pick. I would imagine he's mm-hmm. going to be a one-and-done.
Don't you think that one-and-dones are already one-and-dones before they get here?
Yeah, in large part.
Sounds like Zeke had already decided that.
Oh, yeah, sure. What's his name from the Atlanta who replaced Trier when Trier was out?
Kobe.
Kobe was a one-and-done, whether he played or didn't play, right?
Yeah.
Because they already have it set. And not that he was an NBA player, because I guess he's had a cup of coffee in the NBA. He's not there right now, right?
I haven't heard anything.
No.
A lot of those guys end up going to the G League.
Right. And spend time in the G League because that's their level. I mean, they reach their Peter principle.
Yeah.
And that's what they're at.
That's the thing that I think a lot of fans who talk about that during the season or whatever, give their input about those types of decisions. A lot of those are made before they even arrive to Arizona. That doesn't matter what happens.
Right.
I already know where I'm kind of projected. What am I really going to accomplish at that level and show different than what I've done, you know, through my 3 or 4 years of high school? They know, they make those decisions before they step on campus that I'm going to be a one and done.
Sure.
And we got a couple of seniors going to be gone. Dylan's a senior, right? Dylan Smith?
Yes.
Yep.
And Chase Jeter?
Yes.
Stone Gettings and Max Hazard. It's going to be a completely different team next year.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of holes to fill next
season.
Anybody
want to call in, please do help us out here. 790-2040. Sorry, I haven't given the number, but 790-2040. Talk more about basketball. Let's kind of switch gears real quick. Women play now today, about 15, 20 minutes?
20 minutes.
You cover them a little.
Now, they're in Utah, right?
Yeah, they're in the Utah. They're on the road. What do you think?
To me, they're at this kind of interesting point where they haven't sustained the winning long enough to where there's expectations and there's going to be a big letdown no matter what happens the rest of the season, where people are just going to be excited about them, and they are excited about them right now. And it's kind of that sweet spot of, people are just happy about the program and happy to see their success. And it was funny when I made that mention of the crowd on our message boards yesterday about the crowd at the men's game, someone said, wow, it sounds different than the women's games. And I said, I was trying to figure out, and I always come back to what you say, Steve, about they're just completely different crowds. It's just completely different, the two types of fan bases for each program.
Right, yeah. No, it's one program, not to say that Sean's program is going down, but it's not the same as it was. And hers is obviously not the same as it was. And one rising and one kind of slipping.
Yeah.
And am I wrong in thinking that some of it may be that one season seems to be mirroring the last, and it just, they're getting the same, their fans are getting the same thing over again?
I think that has a lot to do with it.
Yeah.
It's fatigue.
Yeah, and on the opposite side, it's fans really got on board at the end of last season, saw winning, they're continuing to see winning. And as we say in Tucson, if you win, they'll come out. Watch you.
Yeah, no question. No question. So we'll see. I mean, we'll see what happens. With the women, I don't want to talk briefly about them, but I think the best player in the city is
Erin McDonald.
Erin McDonald, yeah. She's the most fun to watch, at least.
Yeah.
I guess she's a shooting point guard.
Yeah.
Mannion should just be a point guard.
Yeah.
But you can see the potential. I mean, he's going to go in the top 14.
Also, they had a chance to build that thing up, though. Adia's had a chance to build that up, and there weren't expectations, going back to my point I was trying to make earlier, where you have to be good every single year. You have to be good every single night, where they had some time to build that up. She kind of had some time to find the right pieces. You add in a McDonald's All-American like Kate Reese, and then you're off to the races and you're building this thing up to, you know, one of the top tier programs in the country.
Right.
And are they already talking about her incoming class next season? Do you know anything about it? We know anything about it?
Not as much. Someone asked me the other day about that, about how much, why is there not as much attention on, you know, that side of the recruiting side of what we do? There's so much on football recruiting. There's so much on men's basketball recruiting. But maybe that's something that has to change now. And they're going to bring more attention. It's all about attention and, you know, the buzz that it generates. And I haven't really looked too deeply into it, but she's done a good job so far.
Yeah, she did a great job. We'll see what happens. I mean, they're kind of like they're very, very good, but they can always teeter on defeat, and who knows, because they're not respected or they're not well known in the country, that they can fall in the polls quickly.
Yeah.
But the polls don't mean anything.
No.
Especially in this tough league that they're in. But it's been a season beyond belief, I think.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to argue with their ranking, with what they've shown so far. It's not, maybe last year you look at the end and you go, maybe that's just a flash in the pan. They'll come back to reality this year. They'll be back kind of in the middle of the pack, and that's it. But they've kind of continued to battle through the adversity, find new ways to win, beat teams that they haven't beaten before, and you know, do some things that matter.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like Adia Barnes is in the running for a national honor, looks like.
Yeah, she's on the watch list for the Naismith Coach of the Year.
That's that was obvious.
Yeah.
I mean, how could you not put her on there? And same as with Ari. One of the best players in the country, and she's only a junior, correct?
Yep.
Redshirt junior.
Redshirt junior.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens with her at the end of the year. Could be very good next year.
Yeah.
Or she could be gone, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's take a quick break here, Tom, and come back on our last 15 minutes. Thanks a bunch here on 1030 The Voice. Welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera, and with me again is Matt Moreno of Go Easy Cats and my guy Tom Fairbanks. In the final 15 or 13 minutes, anybody want to call in, please do, 790-2040. I ran into somebody that, talking to this morning with somebody, and he said, oh, I listen to you on your show. And I'm thinking he probably has me confused with somebody else. And I said, oh, and then he said 1030. I'm thinking, oh, you were the guy that listens to me. It was good. Good to know that I have a listener. And it's not my mom.
Did she stop listening a long time ago?
Yeah, actually, yeah, she did because she lost the dial.
Ah.
You know, she's up in the age and she lost the dial. I have to fix that for her and make sure it sticks on that dial. But no, I think we talk sports here and we have a good time doing it.
Yeah. One thing I was thinking about today, I don't know why I was thinking about it, but I wanted to ask you, what do you think the biggest misconception, I think we talked about this conversation a little bit before, the biggest misconception about what you do as a member of the media?
Just that we have fun.
That's funny. That was kind of one of my first thoughts too.
Well, that we have fun and we have this great time. What time did you finish last night?
Late. Well, it was an earlier game, so not as late, and I was excited because it was still like relatively normal hours.
I finished at 11.
Yeah, probably about the same.
I finished about 11. And I was here for half the game, and went to the game after that.
Yeah.
You know, get home. I didn't write from the arena. I don't do that much anymore, and I just went home and wrote, and it took me about an hour and a half, and then I already had my story in my head, but that's not easy.
But yeah. But you enjoy sports. You enjoy going and watching and sporting events. And what could be better than a job that has you doing
that's
things
part of
you
the thing,
enjoy?
I said this 2 days ago. I think I wouldn't do anything else because this is what I do. Yeah, it's fun. But I think to your question, those people think that, oh, wow, he gets to talk to these guys, go to games, eat for free, free food. Why did you think of that?
I don't know. I just thought about it. Oh, because I was thinking about the broadcast and Richard Jefferson and things he was saying. Someone was talking about on our message boards that he was almost making it seem like, hey, I have no ties to anybody. That I don't know what he said. I didn't watch the broadcast, but they're like, he's almost making it seem like he's too much for Oregon State because he doesn't want it to come off like, you know, he's from Arizona and he's got a building named after him on campus and all that. And I was thinking, it's funny that people, I think that we have some tie into the broadcast or just know everything that's going on. And it's funny when the football press box and people say, well, what's going on with the injuries? What's happening here? I'm in the press box.
Right.
I don't have a wire going to my ear that's saying, hey, this is what's going on with every injury and all that. You guys, a lot of games when you're watching TV, you have a lot more information than we do.
Can I ask you guys, can you be a fan of a particular team or a couple of teams and still be impartial when you're covering them?
No. There's no way. We already have a built-in bias. We just do it. And people call me with you guys, because I'm one of the older guys, cranky, smarky, blah, blah, blah. I am, but I'm not. You know I'm not.
Yeah.
But I'm very neutral.
I think that's been lost, even in my time, which I haven't been doing this a long time, even since I started getting interested in it, it's changed from, that whole idea has changed where that line has become blurred a lot more.
Do you think it's better if you're going to be covering teams and you're expected to be impartial if you're not from the area, but you're from someplace else?
No question. And I'm one of those guys. I have no dog in the fight.
Like Southern California.
I didn't graduate from here. A lot of the people who cover the team now, because there are a lot of kids, graduated from here.
Yeah.
And they have some, not that they do it, not that they show it, but they have some type of, oh, God, they got to win. Get to the tournament, get deep in the tournament because they haven't been there before or they haven't experienced that. Let me do say this. I was biased at a time when I was younger because I was excited about stuff like going deep in the tournament, getting these opportunities to, you know, possibly write a book or whatever, and I did. For the opportunities, not so much for the team, but, you know, if you're along, it's better to cover a winning team than it is a losing team.
Yes.
It's just easier access or more access, at least my day. And you can write more positive stories.
It's just more enjoyable.
Oh, yeah, sure. Sure. I mean, come on. Football, was that enjoyable?
No.
Even though everybody had the same access, correct?
Yeah.
I mean, you don't get to write special exclusives.
Right. and I've covered, even when I was in college, I went to school Long Beach State that was very well known for baseball. I covered two of their worst years when I was in college.
In baseball?
It was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
It was terrible.
Yeah.
The coach ended up getting fired, and it was just terrible. And then to compare that to when Arizona basketball is making its runs to the Elite Eight and how fun that was to just watch those teams and
right.
the energy you feel when you're in those arenas, it's so different. And that's what we can get involved with, and that's what we enjoy doing.
Right. You mentioned football. The team, Arizona, has been making some more changes, more coaching changes. I haven't heard much about the incoming recruiting class. You guys have any thoughts, feelings about the team next season?
I don't sense a ton of change. I mean, we still need to see what happens with these new coaches, whether their philosophy and this new style of defense that they're going to be playing, they're making a change to a 3-4. If that makes much of a difference, I still look at the core talent of this team and not much has changed across the board. I think they've gotten better in some places. And
did Sumlin bring in the coach because he wanted to change the defense to a 3-4, or is it because this coach coaches that and that's the way it's going to be?
I think a little bit of both, but I also think it was just a matter of some kind of change. You have to make some, you have to shake it up somehow because you need different results and there's not a lot of time to do it. The clock is ticking on this staff, whether they like it or not. I mean, when we're talking after year two and we're having meetings with the, you know, athletic director after the final game where he has to kind of say, oh yeah, he's going to be back for another year. That's not a good sign.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a sign that your program is heading in the right direction. So, it's a tall task for them. It's not going to be easy. They're going to do it with someone else's players. They didn't recruit most of the guys that are on the team right now. And it's going to be tough, but I just don't see the jump in talent that I think everyone wants to see.
I think it's more so in football than it is in basketball. When you can say you have a bunch of 4 stars, 5 stars, in basketball, they get them, but it's not happening. But in football, you need those guys.
Yeah.
If you can get these guys, haven't had one in forever, if ever, have they?
A 4-star guy, yeah.
A five star guy.
Oh, 5-star ever.
4-star, maybe 1 or 2 somewhere.
You're hoping that you get 1 or 2 a year at this level.
At this level,
they have.
Was Gronkowski a 5-star?
No.
No?
No, let me ask you something. So what would you think, and we talk about this on the Sports Guys every now and again, what's Arizona's level in football outside of the Pac-12?
In what way, in record or?
Football.
I know, but in what?
Just comparable. If you're going to go to X school, it's kind of like going to Arizona.
Iowa.
Okay. Anything else?
That's a good question. Yeah, I don't know. Iowa's kind of the one that jumps out at me. You should be good. You should be decently good every year, but and win the conference every now and then. But you kind of are what you are.
Mm-hmm. Going 8-4,
yeah,
9-3 sometimes,
yeah,
7-5,
yeah,
most times.
Mm-hmm.
Suffer a bad year, and come back.
Yeah,
that was Dick Tomey, wasn't it?
Yeah,
pretty much. And everyone said, "Well, you need to get rid of him because we got to get better."
Yeah, that's the thing is that, and it's hard to blame fans. That's what they do. They're fans of the program. They want to see them win, but they want something that has never happened.
Right.
Is it fair to say that Tomey got the team to a certain level and people thought he's just not getting them past
right.
that level?
That's without question.
Which is why when I talk about this recruiting class or talk about the team in general, yes, they reached on some guys. They took some guys that they could turn out to be very, very good, but if not, it shouldn't be a surprise that they're not very good. And sometimes the big thing with this recruiting class and the last couple of recruiting classes is that it's all about development. And sometimes when you're recruiting at such a level, which it feels like they are right now, where the starting level is already pretty low, even if you develop them like crazy and get them to maximize their talent, it might still not be good enough. And that's what it feels like with the recent teams that Arizona's put together.
Mm-hmm. Well, there you have it, because we started spring practice here in about 10 days.
Yep.
About 10 days. What's the excitement level going to be? None?
Yeah.
Zero?
It's,
two?
We know who the starting quarterback's going to be, right?
Yes. We knew the last 3 years, and how did that go?
who it was going to be this year.
Right. Yeah. I think, and that's all they have. Not to be mean, but that's all they have.
Yeah.
To market and to see grow.
Yeah. I mean, you would like to have someone like J.J. Taylor or someone like that as
right.
someone that gets people excited. But
is J.J. gone or is he still with the team?
Oh, he's gone.
He's going to be in the NFL draft. In the NFL draft, he's going to the combine. The only player, Khalil Tate, did not get invited. So he's their best chance to get someone drafted.
Do you think Khalil will play in the NFL?
If he's willing to move to a different position. I don't think he's going to be a quarterback.
Yeah, I don't either. So much promise 2-3 years ago. And I've said this before. He had a great month.
Yeah.
And then I wish I had a great month. I'm still waiting for that to happen.
That's too bad because he could have been an outstanding college quarterback. But except for those injuries, do you think?
Except for his stubbornness to change.
Yeah. He didn't want to run the triple option.
He didn't want to run. He didn't want to, yeah. Course of history changed on one tweet.
Yeah, that's true.
So, hey, thanks everybody for listening here on 1030 The Voice. Thank you, Matt Moreno.
Absolutely, Steve.
Tom, I'll see you next week.
Yes, sir. I'll be here, hopefully.
Okay, same here, here on 1030 The Voice. Take care. Have a good weekend, everybody.